Experience Reports 1962-1963. From Past Life, Reported from the Other Side, Recounted Spiritual Experiences, When They Just Entered the Afterlife. Here, then Google translated from German to English. Remark, this has been found in German language online, and here translated via Google into English, for personal use, and mistakes can certainly be found here, both in the translations, and in Google's perception, interpretation of the language otherwise. At some point in time, these messages will surely be translated and approved, published online, by the group, glz.org. Forward. The more than 2,000 lectures that were mediated by the deep trance medium Beatrice Brunner, 1910-1983, also include 91 experience reports from ascending spirit beings. These are stories from deceased people who report on their earthly life and their first experiences in the world beyond. These accounts are very personal. The reporters show in many different ways what effects their human thoughts and actions had and how individually they were judged and treated after their death. The accounts give a vivid insight into different levels of the world beyond and into the laws of cause and effect. They show how justice is done to everyone who returns home and how much God's spirit world strives to support everyone in their spiritual development. The reports date from 1958 to 1970. This book is the third volume in the series Reports and contains the 18 lectures from 1962 and 1963. The new edition of the reports, they are being published chronologically in book form for the first time, stays as close as possible to the original text or the original wording. Editorial changes were generally only made where they were necessary when translating the spoken language into written form. The characteristic expression of the spirit beings who make themselves known here has been left as original as possible so that the reader can empathize with their individual nature. Introduction. Christa, Liberation from Malice, Maximilian, Materialist with Passions, Thomas, Return to Poor Spiritual Conditions, Leonie, Overcoming Religious Narrow-Mindedness, The Peddler Albert, A Life with Limited Intelligence, The Merchant Sebastian, Missed Opportunities for Intellectual Merit, Julius, The Unfaithful Trustee, Karen, A Children's Village in the Kingdom of Heaven, Magdalena, Foster Mother Preferred Her Own Children, Emil, Confession of a Man Born Blind, Albert, The Helpful Work of Well-Meaning Earthbound Spirits, Maria, Afterlife Training of a Former Beggar, Sebastian, Change of Heart of a Religious Fanatic, Mathis, The Blacksmith, Philip, Accidental Death in the Mountains, Madeline, How a Loveless Orphanage Director Fared in the Afterlife, The Strict Albert, The Path to the Transformation of a Feared Father, Emma, Emancipation from a Patriarchal Husband. The reports of experiences of ascending spirit beings are part of the teachings on Christian spiritual teachings that were conveyed for 35 years by the deep trance medium Beatrice Brunner. These lectures took place as part of the G. Elderick community, on the first Wednesday evening of each month in the hall on Mar 1 Court in Kaldenstrasse in Zurich. The spirit beings who speak in this series of books were specially selected by the community's otherworldly leaders and teachers to report on their personal experiences. The listeners were given various detailed explanations about these beings and their mission. We select these spirits each time. You should not assume that they are simply allowed in. We consult them in detail beforehand. We discuss with each other what they are allowed to tell you. Because the whole thing has to fit into our structure of spiritual teachings. We are careful to always select and bring here brothers and sisters who, through their descriptions, also give you explanations, that is, the reports are linked to teachings. They serve to expand your knowledge and to gain a better insight into the spiritual world. In this way, you also learn about the laws and can imagine how things are in the world beyond and what you can expect yourself. With intention and wise consideration, we have based the reports on the modest, simple life of people in times past. In some cases, however, they were only 50 years ago or less. We have deliberately presented these reports to you in order to show you how possessions and prosperity in this world are fleeting and, above all, that this life is not about earthly wealth, but that one must orient oneself towards spiritual gains. The spirit beings reporting come from different ascension levels. However, they are all part of God's order. This means that they have been in the world beyond for a long time, have undergone purification and are under the guidance of the spirits of God according to divine law. They received the necessary support to describe their experiences. We enable them to experience the world beyond in the same way as before. We must help them to do this. But we must also ensure that there are no outbursts, because if a spirit can go back in time, this could easily happen. These beings often report in a somewhat humorous way. It all depends on what was inside them, whether they were malicious or good-natured or indifferent. We want these characteristics to be expressed so that you can see that someone who has returned to the beyond behaves in the same way as they did when they were on Earth, that their feelings and views are still the same and that they can learn better, that their feelings become more refined and that they are no longer able to act in the same way later on. Therefore, we give the spirit in question the opportunity to behave and behave in the same way as they did in the beginning. I must also point out that what is reported is always a summary of a long period of time. We discuss everything with the spirit in question beforehand and indicate to him how he should tell you. This gives you an idea of it. Of course, these spirits who tell you about their experiences are purified and would no longer speak like they did at the beginning when they came to the world beyond. They now have a completely different view. But you can hear that for yourself. But you should not assume that what these beings tell you is always of a profound nature. Rather, you must be shown and explained what generally happens when a person dies and comes to the world beyond. You must be explained what happens so frequently. This should give you an answer to various questions that you have. You should also realize that what is explained to you cannot be generalized, but that in one case or another, a different judgment will be made. Before each report, a control spirit spoke, who was responsible for the spiritual supervision of the event. After the lecture, the listeners had the opportunity to ask their trusted clergyman Joseph questions about what they had heard after a trance change. The book contains the questions and answers that relate directly to the respective report. January 3, 1962, Christer, Liberation from Malice. Christer, who was ill-disposed towards her fellow human beings and unwilling to forgive, learns to understand the meaning of the cross and the message of Christ. Control Spirit, greetings from God. I am the Control. Dear brothers and sisters, we are sending you another spirit who is making himself known to people in this way for the first time. God's blessing be with you all. Greetings from God. Christer, greetings. My dear brothers and sisters, I would not know what I would have to say to you if I had not been taught what to say to you. Now I would first like to introduce myself. During my lifetime I was called Marianne. In the spiritual world I gave up this name, I no longer liked it. But only later, when the most difficult period of purification was over, was I allowed to take on a different name. I then said that I wanted to be called Christer, and I was allowed to use this name. Many people change the name they had borne on Earth. They no longer enjoy it, because they are reminded too much of all kinds of offenses. Since you have already been through a period of purification and have been forgiven, you want to see this phase completed and no longer want to use this name, which reminds you so much of the life you had not lived properly. Now I am to tell you a few things. I will briefly touch on my life on Earth. I was not married. I had a job and thus came into contact with many people. We did not always get along well and were often ill-disposed towards one another. We would get in the way of one another and always get back at one another. We were ill-disposed towards one another. In fact, we were never prepared to forgive. The smallest incident gave rise to this base retaliation. We took it for granted. We simply did not put up with anything from our neighbors. Anyone who did was considered stupid because they did not defend themselves. You don't have to put up with everything, was the opinion. And in this way we had, in a certain sense, gained respect from many people. They then became afraid that you might do something to them that could harm them, and that was actually a weapon, you tried to force the other person. I was pious in the usual sense, as there are still people today who say they are pious or religious. In my view today, there is a big difference between religious and pious. If people are religious, they have a certain view that they hold on to and they try to live according to this view. But they do not do this to the best of their ability. They claim to be good and they call themselves religious. Then there are really pious people. It takes something for a person to be able to say of themselves, I am pious. To be pious means to lead a life that pleases God and is tolerant. The religion or view that one has plays no role. To be pious does not mean just praying a lot, but to be righteous and holy before God, to live according to His will, to do the best, in other words, to be completely different from what I was. I later came to this realization. I do not want to claim that I have acquired great spiritual knowledge, but I would like to express my joy that I have the difficult purification behind me and that I am now employed in a pleasant job and am a happy being. Well, when you are alive you do not ask much about what will happen when you die. You are not aware of your responsibility. You have no real connection to, let's say, religious life. You simply say that you belong to this or that religion, but you do not understand the deep seriousness. This is not only what happened to me, but to many others too, and countless people today still live as superficially as I lived. They do not tolerate anything, they pay back everything, they never want to humiliate themselves, they do not want to lead a tolerant life. This is a pity. And because you don't ask so much about what happens next, you constantly find reinforcement in your reprehensible actions. And so I had to atone for it too. I had to atone for everything I had done. I was Catholic and I believed that if I confessed my sins, everything would be forgiven. That was a mistake. Everything still weighed on me. It wasn't forgiven, because I hadn't really meant to not do it again. But I believed that it was forgiven and that one would receive grace, go to heaven, one way or another. But that wasn't true. So I was very disappointed one day when I opened my eyes and saw these stern angels of God in front of me. They didn't introduce themselves to me, but spoke to me very forcefully, "We will give you time to make up for what you did wrong in life." At first I was still so dazed and I asked myself, "Have I really died now?" I felt my body, because I said to myself, "If the body is dead, then you can't live anymore." I wasn't even thinking about the soul, the spirit. I wasn't even thinking about what the church had told us about eternal life. At first I didn't think about the saints who were in heaven. But soon it became clear to me, that they were, the saints, there, faithful. The angels of God. They spoke to each other about my misdeeds and they told of these and those days when I had been particularly bad. And those days and those experiences passed before my eyes vividly, very vividly. Then I didn't know whether I was actually a human being or whether I was in paradise now, whether this is heaven or purgatory or whether I was in hell. I saw myself acting as a human being, just as I had done. I saw the people I had been with and whom I had insulted and quarreled with. I saw everything so clearly. I was in their houses, everything was fresh and alive. Then I said to myself, I haven't died at all, I'm only dreaming, otherwise this and that wouldn't be here. But the angels saw my thoughts and my confusion and they said to me, yes, yes, you have died. You have already died, but your soul has not died. You have only laid aside your body. I felt for my body and I had hands with which I could grasp, I had legs and feet with which I could walk, I had a head, I had hair. I had a garment on. It was completely incomprehensible to me. I had never thought about how one could continue to live. And then they explained it to me, you have your body. It looks like the earthly one, it is just a little stunted by your misdeeds. And your garment is not exactly the most beautiful thing that you could be happy about. It is full of dirt that you yourself have put on it with your misdeeds. Your garment will still be a hard time for you, it is heavy. And we have also given you shoes. They will not make your walking easy, but your gait will be heavy. I looked at my dress and my shoes and asked myself, where do they come from, these shoes? Have they suddenly put such shoes on me? And as I looked at this dress and these shoes, I had to realize, they were the worst shoes I had ever worn in my human life. But I had given them away long ago. Now I had them back, and they were full of holes. They looked really bad. And my garment. I remembered well when I wore this dress. But it was much nicer, it had been attractive, and now it is so crushed, crumpled on all sides, it is dirty. I could no longer determine what kind of material it was. It all seemed strange to me, but I thought, I don't want to study that. I have to be awake and see what is going on. And as I stood there and was busy with myself, I saw my parents standing in the distance. They were much better dressed than I was, especially my mother. Father was also nearby, but he still didn't seem very happy. But they looked at me with pity. Well, I saw other acquaintances. But they were far away, I couldn't talk to them. Then one of these saints gave a sign, and then everyone I knew disappeared, and these saints said, now you shall see something of the new life, and we will see how you are prepared to think and act. We will give you time to gain some insight. You can turn inward a little. But they gave me no further advice. They led me a long way to a large village or a small town. I didn't know at the time how to say it. In any case, I saw wide streets, and here and there stood smaller, and then larger, houses. They were not particularly beautiful, but I still believed that one could still live well in them. There were meadows, trees, small forests, but it seemed to me as if it was a twilight state. I couldn't really tell, is it actually day here, or is it night? Does it always look like this here, or will it get lighter again? But I soon realized that there was always a so-called depressed atmosphere. It was like on Earth when evening came, not quite dark yet, so you could still see. Over time, you got used to the twilight, and I had the feeling that you could see quite well, sometimes too well. Then they told me that they would leave me alone for a while, and that I could do what I wanted or what I wanted, but they would advise me to turn inward. Then they left me without saying much. I stood there, in the middle of the street, so to speak. I had no home. I didn't know where to go, and there was actually no one there to look after me. But I soon saw that I wasn't alone, because many people were standing around and talking to each other in groups. Some were walking in pairs, and some were just as lonely, alone as I was. I had the feeling that they were just as sad as I was. But I didn't want to join anyone, and I had the feeling that others didn't want to either and would go off on their own. Well, I thought about it, I thought back to earthly life, I thought about what they had taught me in church. I could pray, too. I did so, because they had told me, you should turn inwards. So I thought, yes, prayer means turning inwards. In our religion or in my religion they said, you just have to pray to Mary, she will come and get you, she is the intercessor with the Lord, and she will pave the way for you, and you will come to him. Otherwise there are many, many saints you can pray to and they will help you. I still remembered exactly the many names that were spoken in church and prayed. So I chose a place. I knelt down and I began to pray to Mary. She was supposed to show me the way. I said that I was sorry and that I would not do again what I had done wrong in my human life, and I called on these many saints by name. But then I saw straight away that no one came to me. No Mary came to me, and the many saints I had hoped for did not come either. Instead, where I was, there were the same sinners as me. Sometimes I raised my eyes again and then I saw, some stood in front of me and laughed as I prayed, and others were full of pity. I did that for a while, and when I saw that no one came to me and that praying, as I believed, did not help, I stood up and went back to that big, wide street. And for the first time I experienced what was happening on that street. Groups of beings came. They were dressed in dark clothes, their gait was slow, they looked sad, and they walked along this long street. I did not know what kind of sinners they were. I just thought, thank God I am not one of them. I am glad that I am not one of them. I was a little bitter at least. Then I saw this group screaming forward, N. But then I heard a voice from somewhere, I didn't know where, and this voice called out, it's them, these heavily burdened beings. It's the malicious ones, they're marching now. It's the malicious ones, and they're marching now. Then I started to think, it's the malicious ones. Where are they going? The road was wide and long, and then they disappeared from my sight. But I wasn't alone standing there at the side of the road, but many others were making the same observations as I was. That consoled me. And as I looked around, I thought, the others don't belong here either, they're just as free as I am. But I had hardly thought about this when another group passed me, and another voice, I didn't know where from, it's them, the unbelievers, it's them, the unbelievers. They were also walking along the long street, they all had an unhappy face, their gait was very heavy, and they were all wearing such gloomy, dark clothes. They passed me by. But to my great disappointment, I saw that some of those who were standing at the side of the road like me and looking at them were mocking and calling out names. Yes, those are the unbelievers. If you had been believers, you wouldn't have to walk this road. Serves you right. But I saw others kneeling down and beginning to pray, as if they wanted to ask God to have mercy on them. Others I saw standing dejectedly, they had bowed their heads and looked pitying. I experienced this for the first time, it was like a never-ending procession. New groups came again, and again the voice called out, it's them, it's the scoffers. And they were also ugly to look at, these mockers. They passed by, and the same thing could be seen and heard. Some called out something after them, and others felt sorry for them and prayed. I didn't know what to do. Should I kneel down and pray too? What should I do? Then I looked to see if I could perhaps find an acquaintance among these sinners. No, I saw neither an acquaintance nor an acquaintance. But new groups came, and then the same voice again, look, it's them, the drunkards, it's the drunkards. And so it went on. Look, it's them, the adulterers. Look, it's them. And they walked along this long street, I didn't know where they were going. And so it went on for a long, long time. I didn't dare ask, because so many came. Some were accused of being stingy, others of being ruthless, of being egoistic, and others of being those who had stolen other people's property. Oh, there was so much. They were accused of so much. It was always others. I paid attention to this, and they walked along the long street. I walked a little to the side and then I thought, I am glad that I am not one of these people, neither one nor the other. I want to thank God for that, because I knew, or rather I suspected, these people are under very strict protection. So I am glad, I am free. But I do not want to abuse my freedom, I would rather go back and pray some more. Perhaps someone will come by sometime. And I tried to be a little quiet again. As I was praying, someone touched my shoulder. When I looked up, it was not an angel of God, but a sinner, probably like me. She asked if she could sit next to me, or rather kneel next to me, we could pray together. She introduced herself and told me something about her life. But I didn't listen, I was too busy with myself. So we prayed together for a while, one time she, the other time I. Then someone else came to us and said, come, stand up, look at the long street, just look there. We didn't want to see anything, we didn't want to see anything. Actually, we were afraid that we might be dragged into the ranks. We didn't go so close to that street anymore, we only wanted to watch from a distance if we had to. But no, they said to us, come, come, just look at it, and we were dragged there. Then we had a pleasant surprise, it was no longer the same column, it was no longer the same voice that was now accusing these beings, but we heard a soft flute playing and we saw a group like that of the burdened sinners, But here they were bright figures walking through the street, they were beautifully and colorfully dressed, they had friendly faces and they were walking down the same street. There were some among us who wanted to know that these were angels of God. But we were not told how and why they were walking down this street like the great sinners. Then these rows of angels walked and passed by, and we watched them until we could no longer see their splendor. But it seemed strange to us. They were walking on the same road, but it wasn't the same road, because the road they were walking on didn't go straight ahead, but went up at a slight angle, it went upwards. We had the feeling that we had solid ground under our feet. How is it possible that they aren't walking on this solid road? Why are they going up? And they wander, they move upwards, putting one foot in front of the other. Yes, it was a road, and then I said to myself, everything is possible in heaven. It's an invisible road, we can't see it. So they went a different way, they went up. Then we returned to our place, and those who had brought us this message went away again. The two of us went back to pray. But soon we heard the voice we had avoided again. There they are, here they come, look at them, they are the adulterers. Look at them, they are full of greed. Look at them, they are the malicious ones and so on. We wanted to close our eyes, we did not want to see it. We wanted to close our ears, we did not want to hear anything. But they came again and, yes, I could say, they placed us with gentle force near the road so that we could see everything. And they passed by again in the same way. When we thought the last row had arrived, angels came, we had not seen them before. Suddenly we were grabbed firmly and placed on the road. There were not just two of us, it happened so quickly and there was a whole group. We marched together like that, or had to run forward on this road. We could not go back, we were drawn as if by a magnet. We thought we could be a hindrance to ourselves, because it was so difficult for us. Our shoes were heavy, the clothes we wore were heavy, and we had trouble getting along. But on this road we had no trouble. It was as if the road was going away with us. After a long, long while we were able to step off the road. There was a side road, and we were led onto this side road. There was a strong angel of God before us and said that we had probably thought that we would be spared and not have to walk this road. And then he listed our misdeeds. I did not want to be reminded of them. All of this had already been brought before my eyes. I knew what I had done wrong. But it was not just me. All of those who had been forced into these ranks with me were confronted with their misdeeds, and suddenly there was no secret anymore. We saw exactly what the other was carrying. We were sinners. We had not lived as the kingdom of God requires of man. We should now learn the laws of God. We should prepare ourselves for the divine life. That is what we were told. All the wrongs we had done had to be made good. They accused us, each and every one of us, and they said that we had not yet shown deep remorse. They did not yet attach any importance to the remorse we showed, but that we had to prove that we were capable of living a different life. Only then would they believe that we were repentant. For we were told, everyone acts as if they were repentant. It is clear that they feel the power and they are afraid. But we do not want to conquer them in fear. They should feel the power of God, who is leading the word here, but they should find the right path and the right life by their own strength. What was to happen to us? And what is the use of going all this way and being constantly looked at and mocked by so many others? We asked ourselves that, and we were told, it is a use, because many stand around and mock, and they must make up for the mockery they make. Well, now we were to learn something of the law of God. We then had to return. Another road led back to the community house where we lived together. But we were then called to go to work in a closed community. All who were standing around there were to see who we were, what we had done in human life. When I experienced this for the first time, when we were gathered together and they spoke to us about the law of God and demanded obedience from us, I thought, I will do anything. We were told that we must work hard, we must learn to know Christ, not Him in person, but we must learn to know what He taught and to practice it. We should be able to bear the weight of the cross with the greatest effort. We did not know what that meant, we let it come to us. And then, when we, he seemed to have spoken to us enough this first time, we walked along the street together again. But it was not the same, it was a different one. No one was standing on the path and no one was looking at us.